is up, everybody?
Welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast, episode 65. And today we're going to be doing more unexplained phenomena because we loved the last episode. You guys loved the last episode. It was just fun all around. So we found so many topics when we were researching for that one that we figured we got to make another one soon because there were so many that we wanted to talk about that we just ran out of time. So that's what we're going to be getting into today.
Yes, yes. So many more interesting things to uncover. But we wanted to first talk about something very exciting that is coming this summer. And what is that, Kendall?
The RTX Festival in Austin, Texas, July 5th through the 7th. Mile Higher Podcast will be there.
Yes, we are doing our first live show, actually. Yes. At the RTX Podcast Festival, which will be on Sunday, July 7th. Again, this is Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Which, yeah, we're pumped to go there because we've never been to... we've been to Texas, but we've never actually
been to Texas. Have you been to Texas?
Yeah, but just driving through it or at the airport. Oh. So I've never really explored
I've never even been there.
But yeah, so yeah, we got invited and we are going to be doing our first live performance, which will be very interesting.
We're a little nervous, but it's a good challenge, I think. It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
So come support us if you're able to. We'd love to see you there.
Yeah, we'll put links for tickets and everything in the description or on the site so you guys can go and check that out. But yeah, if you feel like coming out and supporting us, you'll have an opportunity to meet us because we'll be setting up like a little booth at the convention. And yeah, you can come by and say hello and just hang out with us for a bit. So
come chill.
Super exciting stuff. But let's go ahead and jump into the stories for this week. We've got lots of very interesting things to cover today. So first things first, Scientology was in the news this past week because
this is so weird.
One of their ships got quarantined in St. Lucia because, go ahead.
So this is different than one of their like Sea Org ships though. This is not a Sea Org ship.
Well, it is a Sea Org ship. I mean,
it's just like the top class Sea Org ship.
It's their biggest vessel they have. Yeah.
One that they have. Okay.
This is it's a cruise ship.
But they call it a cruise ship versus
basically. It's like 440 feet long. Mm-hmm. So it's really big. Passenger. It's really fancy looking. And yeah, it's supposed to. So if you don't know about this ship, it's called Free Winds. And Scientology says that it's basically like a spiritual retreat center where the elite of Scientology get invited to go there once they reach a certain OT level, which if you watch our episode on Scientology, you might know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Which is just like a spiritual level in their
operating
system.
Operating Thetan.
Right.
Level whatever. Yeah. And I don't remember how many levels it goes up, but it takes like
8's the highest.
Eight?
Okay. OT level 8. So that's...
But then they all break into like little groups as well. Like you're constantly working up.
It it's a ranking system. Yeah, it's a full ranking system. Mm-hmm. So the church has said like the people that are on there, which there was like 300 people on there. And what happened was is they were trying to dock in St. Lucia and... They found out that somebody on board had measles, which measles is a highly contagious disease.
It is.
That's killed millions of people. Mm-hmm. It's extremely infectious and it spreads very rapidly. So it could, potentially wipe out a lot of people very quickly if it's not, quarantined and dealt with. So pretty scary that, measles has reemerged into the world. Actually, there's, I believe like 700 cases already in the US for it. Like,
oh my gosh.
And the reason for this is because of anti-vaccination, people that don't do that. And actually, I've heard some Scientologists are in that bucket of anti-vax. And
well, I think I don't know that much about Christian Church of Science, too, but I think they also believe that. I know Ellen DeGeneres was in that church when she was a kid, and her parents didn't believe in medicine at all.
Yeah. There's like, that. Yeah, that sounds right.
They didn't believe in hospitals.
It's either them or there's another similar... sort of denomination that believes that.
You know, while we're on the topic, I just wanted to like say that I am not an anti-vaxxer. I had mentioned in one of the podcasts just like someone's quote about their child who was an anti-vaxxer and just said that it was interesting. I was just like pondering the idea of,
Well, I mean, I think it's okay to sit there and think about it.
Yeah, but I wasn't planning on not vaccinating my children. So I just wanted to like make that clear.
Well, it's like there's clear
that's a massive problem.
Yeah. Well, it's clear these vaccinations have been developed and been effective in ridding the world of these awful diseases that killed literally millions of people.
Yeah.
And if we don't create vaccinations, then we have the potential to unleash something even more deadly in the future, like a virus or something like that. So, obviously you want to do your research and make sure it is what it is, but they do work. So some people have said maybe the reason why this happened is because somebody on board was anti-vax and then they got measles. So
yeah, and I mean, I'm not at the same time, I'm not trying to say that vaccines shouldn't be criticized or looked at, because I think they might cause some problems. But do you want to risk getting measles and dying? No.
Right.
And you're putting others at risk too.
Well, that's the main thing, right? Is yeah. like, it's one thing if you choose not to do that for yourself and you live in complete isolation where
I guess
you're not, yeah. But who does that?
Or if
that?
You choose not to do the flu one, like I don't get the flu vaccine.
I mean, a ton of people don't.
Sick every single time I do it. So, and I mean, and there's a lot of bad yeah. stuff in vaccines. There really are. So vaccines are a debate for sure. But I mean, I would vaccinate my kids for sure.
Yeah.
Measles is a major issue.
I mean, if it's
issue.
Proven to work and I'm vaccinated and I've never gotten anything, honestly, like. Mm-hmm. I've been vaccinated for everything on the planet and I've never been like sick with any sort of
yeah, I'm assuming major I have. I mean, disease. My mom just would like take me to a doctor and be like, give her whatever she needs this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, you do that with your kids, yeah. but I felt like a lot of kids like chicken pox. Have you ever gotten chicken pox?
No.
No? Oh, mm-mm. Me neither. Mm. Yay.
Yay. I don't think that many kids get that anymore. I like,
no,
never
that's a
that.
Horrible example.
Like, yeah. Didn't your brother get that though?
My brother's gotten, yeah, that's what's weird is my brother's gotten hit with all of the, you know, airborne diseases, I feel like.
Interesting.
Minor ones.
Maybe your parents forgot to take him to the doctor. I'm just kidding.
No.
Okay, anyway, so they couldn't dock the boat because someone on the boat had measles. That was yeah, a major
they had to
track.
Send like Sorry, health guys. Inspectors.
Wanted to talk about that though.
Because here's what happens. If somebody gets off the boat with measles, they can potentially wipe yeah, out the whole island. Like
exactly. Especially in a quarantined island. Yeah, totally.
A small population mm-hmm. like that where mm-hmm. everybody's like in close proximity. And yep. mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it could
spread quick.
Get really bad. So mm-hmm. they have to quarantine them and then like remove them and try to cure them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was interesting that it was Scientology. And I haven't seen any official statement from them as far as like what they're doing or anything. But oh shit, before I forget, the thing I was going to bring up about this is Lee Remini commented about this, of course,
oh.
and somebody was asking her about this ship and she started saying that this ship is like not what it seems like. It's not like this luxury cruise liner where they're all, you know, getting mm. a chillax and because they're in like the President's Club of Scientology.
Yeah.
It's brutal there, man. You're going through extensive auditing or like imagine being like on a lie detector test for hours and hours and hours every day, being grilled on everything about you in your life. Like,
yeah, that's like what that's auditing what they're doing. Is. It sounds so stressful. And to talk you into thinking you've done things that you haven't actually done and shit. That's so crazy to the point where they break you and make you think you've like done all this shit. Plus you have to take responsibility for what you've done in past lives. You're getting grilled about shit that didn't even happen
that
in this lifetime.
That you consciously don't know about. Yeah.
Yeah. That probably isn't even true. Well, probably definitely isn't true. So
oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's bullshit.
It's a big scheme and cold.
And all these
quite
people
frankly,
are stressing
so.
Out about it. It's so sad.
Yeah. And I mean, people have defected from Scientology and talked about being on the ship and saying it's literally a ship of horrors is the yeah. quote. Saying that it felt like living in a cage, like as wow. an animal there. And some people have yeah. gotten to the point where they're like, I will do anything to get off this fucking boat.
I bet
like,
people have jumped.
Yeah, total. I mean, I'm sure in the past.
Yeah. They keep that kind of shit quiet too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like Scientology is slowly going to get broken into more and more and more.
Yeah.
And the truth is going to spread about them. And
I mean,
what's
Lee
really
Remini's
going on.
Really like poured gasoline on the whole thing. It is blown
yeah.
up. She has really gotten a lot of people's eyes on this and brought it to such a more real place. Like you can read about it all day, but like hearing the interviews and the stories from these people of what
right.
they went through in her show is truly incredible. And the fact that she was a Scientologist just makes it so much more relatable and like real, you know? So she's just, I think if anyone's leading that movement, it's her for sure.
Absolutely.
A lot of credit goes to her for that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's what it's going to take down cults and groups like this that
yeah.
have as much money and power. I mean, they're you know, they don't pay any taxes because they're a church.
Right.
So their resources are massive. It's absolutely crazy. It's
so much money.
I mean, I can go on and on about Scientology, but I
yeah.
think, I don't know. I think more and more people are getting interested and we'll see them sort of break down over time. I don't think they're going to go down anytime soon, but I think it's only a matter of time, you know, before they decide to disband.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing I wanted to talk about that we haven't talked about actually is the airplane crashes that happened not that long ago, a couple weeks ago or last month. Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines, where the 737 MAX Boeing planes went down and hundreds of people died.
Ugh, so scary, dude. I really can't imagine being on a plane that was going down. That sounds terrible.
So, and I guess what happens, this is a very basic overview of my understanding of aircrafts, is that there's a sensor, pilots. There's a sensor, like planes are so automated nowadays, it's crazy. Like the computers, all the software completely runs the plane. The pilots are pushing buttons, essentially.
Yep.
Is all they're doing on there and making sure, like in a situation where a computer fails, they're supposed to be able to rectify the problem. Well, that's not what happened, because there's these sensors that had to have like another component that was costs airlines extra money, like a health feature. So because of this, and because of the way the software is set up, I believe like the sensors went off, and then when they tried to follow the protocol to reverse the sensor, that it didn't, they weren't able to. So the sensor was sending like crazy erroneous data to the airplane, telling it that it was doing something else, when in actuality it was just fine. it was completely fine.
Yeah.
Like normal. Like the plane would have flied normal. There was not an actual issue. It's literally like the computer crashed the plane, in a sense.
Oh my gosh.
And the pilots tried, especially on the Ethiopian Airlines flight, they went through. So after the first one crashed, Boeing was like, you know, we don't know what's going on. Like, this is rare. Like, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Keep flying. And then the Ethiopian Airlines happened soon after that. And that one, literally 10 minutes from takeoff, 10 minutes after takeoff, nose just goes down and goes straight back to the ground.
God.
And they're like, shit. Like, beep, beep, beep. Can you imagine being
in
the...
No, I really can't.
Like, the stress, and like, it's all on you.
I'm so sorry. Don't kill me.
You know, it's all on you to fix this issue or everybody dies, including you.
Yeah.
And imagine them being in there, and they're trying, they're like frantically looking at the manual and the instructions that
really
Boeing,
can't.
Like
it makes
the pressure.
My heart pound.
And they're like, shit, we're doing everything. Literally, they're probably like, we're doing everything it says to do, but this thing is not, it's not, it's going down. We're done.
Like, that's seriously the freakiest thing.
And what's crazy is that we just found out that Boeing knew that there was a problem with one of the safety features on its 737 MAX planes back in 2017.
Yeah.
And the Lion Air crash was in October 2018, and then the Ethiopian Airlines crash was in March.
Yep.
And they did not disclose the issue to airlines or safety regulators until after the Lion Air plane crashed off the Indonesian coast.
That is crazy. So, and they had knowledge of this. So why on earth are they charging extra for a safety component? Like, that should be included in the price. It shouldn't be an optional feature. It should be mandatory. Anything safety related on a plane should be 100% manualty. Yeah. Yeah. Included manualty.
And for mandated. God's sakes, for as much as we're paying for airline tickets, why the hell are not the airlines buying every safety feature offered?
Because if it's extra. Cheap. They want to cram us all into a tiny fucking metal tube so close to each other. You can't put your fucking thing down. You can't even put a bagel on the trays anymore.
You're like this. You're
yeah. It's so bad. It is crazy. And they don't care about people anymore. No, they are making the best financial choices possible. The airline industry needs such a change. It's crazy. It is so money driven, and it's barely about the consumer.
It's like, clearly not. I mean, just looking at all the other horrible things that have happened with airplanes.
So many things
in recent years. Yeah.
And I mean, crashes, like things like that. But, and then, you know, flight attendants acting insane and people getting dragged the fuck off. Remember that one guy was dragged off bleeding?
Yeah.
He was like literally pulled off the plane. That was insane. And then the dog, someone killed a dog. They put it up in the flight compartment. Just the entire airline industry needs a major makeover. It is such a mess.
It really is. It just goes to show you. So what's also kind of weird to me is there's not a lot of competition either. Like there's so few airlines now, and they all own each other now that they have just so much control over everything. And that us, the consumers, don't, because we don't have that choice of airlines like we used to, or the options that we used to.
I mean, if this was something different, I'd understand, but this is a plane. Like, they are sending hundreds and thousands of people into the sky every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is our safety not the number one thing? It should be. It should be more regulated. I feel like the airlines should have more regulation, I think.
Yeah, and I think it should be more accountability with just like its customers and the people
absolutely
paying their bills and stuff. It's like they should be listening to us more. I mean, that's what we say about every corporation, but the fact that
Is so disgusting that they knew about that and they didn't.
Yeah, like, and then they did. So, and then even the FAA failed to like force them to do anything about it too. So our government agency that's set up to monitor to
regulate the airlines didn't fucking do it.
So this was like,
sorry, I'm cussing a lot. This really fires me up. I hate the airlines.
Yeah.
I feel like every airline just is awful.
No, they are. And I don't know if you know this, but as far as the actual airplanes we ride on, there's literally two companies that make airplanes.
Yeah,
Boeing, which is the biggest, and then Airbus is the other one.
Airbus. I didn't know
But other than that, there's like no other type actual plane types or
So is companies. Boeing going to get in trouble for this?
I don't know. I think as of yet, no. As of yet, there's nothing illegal. I don't think that's happened.
How about the airline that chose not to take the safety feature? Both of them should be in trouble. Them for making it optional and them for not taking the option. That's just
That's what should happen, but
it won't.
That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They'll just, what they'll keep doing is taking our leg room.
Yeah. They're like, that's the solution. Here's what we need to do. Cut down the leg room. That'll solve it all.
Seriously.
Make it even smaller. Get rid of the trays.
Oh my
no
God.
One moves. Let's put them in
Before
pods.
Before you know it, somebody's head's going to be directly in your face.
Yeah, you're just going to be looking at them. We're all standing like sardines together.
No, literally, did you
what
see that?
What if it's
that,
like a thing where you have to just hang on to a bar, like hold on the whole fucking way standing, like and pack us all
14 hours to Australia, just like standing up, arm on the bar. Oh my God. Then nobody would fly.
No. Well, hopefully the airline industry is pretty different in like 20 years.
It's going to be because...
Hopefully technology catches up because... According to like a lot of experts who claim to know about really high advanced technology, we are so behind with planes. We are just in caveman days, basically.
No, totally.
For what's actually secretly available and how fast we could be flying and how seamless it could be. Things like this could be avoided.
It could be radically changed in, 10, 20.
I bet it will.
20 years, 50 years
Let's
from
hope.
Now.
Let's
I hope. I hope so because,
sick of being slammed
I literally
in
don't
there.
Even want to fly anymore. Like, it's so shitty.
It's stressful. And And I feel like it's some, like, you never know. You either get like a really nice person on there, the people taking tickets and stuff.
Flight
like,
attendant,
you never know what the experience is going to be. They'll either be really nice or they'll just like almost hate you. Like, you're like, what? Did I do something to you? And so I don't know. I mean, it's pretty scary to get on a plane though. And to think that they may not have optional safety features because they wanted to save money.
Yeah, and I mean, officially they're saying that these safety features that weren't purchased aren't, may not have reversed what happened.
Okay.
This was a software issue that happened. There is a software issue that's actually malfunctioned or just had a, wasn't programmed right or something that caused this issue to happen. But in actuality, if they had that other alert system, then they could like counteract it and probably have stopped it. They won't say for sure, of course, but it sounds like it could have been avoided, both of these. And so those planes have been grounded. Nobody's been flying on those new Boeing 737 Maxes. I don't want to fly on one like after that.
Yeah, no way. I had you check our tickets when our last flight to make sure we weren't, because that's scary.
Oh, man. I feel like I have a freak out moment on every flight where I'm like,
I know
I could go down in this.
I think everyone has that, like at least one internal freak out moment when traveling. You have to just like pull it together.
Or you just think like randomly, you're like, I am literally like, if you stop and think about where you are. Like,
oh yeah. I can't even go there, especially
there,
international. If I'm over the ocean, I'm like, I cannot think about that.
Literally, if I could see down right now, it would be nothing but fucking sky.
This is why when we fly international, if we're over the ocean, I'm trying to be asleep for it. I try to go to sleep immediately when we get on the plane. So as soon as we get over the ocean, I'm out. That's my plan.
It's a good,
I hate being awake on planes.
It's a great plan though. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is the UN, the United Nations, has released a conglomerative report saying that nature is in its worst shape in our entire human history. We have over 1 million species of plants and animals facing extinction right now. 1 million.
That's absolutely astonishing.
And it's all because of us. That's what's crazy too.
Oh, 100%. The direct
correlation to what we've been doing it, and species loss is like continuing to accelerate as our civilization continues on. Cause we're just like,
They're about to put giraffes on the endangered species list.
Rhinos. Like that's what's crazy is that animals that you and I went to the zoo as kids and saw.
It's not some insect off in a in a forest that you don't know about.
It's like the big species, man, that we all know and love.
Huge parts of our ecosystem, parts of the food chain. I mean, I don't think people really understand how bad that is.
No, they don't. And I wish everybody would read this report because it lays it out really simply how, you know, five ways people are reducing biodiversity on planet Earth, turning forests, grasslands, and other areas into farms, cities, and other developments.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The habitat loss leaves plants and animals homeless, which we don't think about at all. Like when we're doing development or any of the companies that do that don't care about that for the most part.
Yeah. That's why reducing your meat intake or cutting completely or cutting certain types, whatever you can do personally makes a big difference. Think about it. Think on it.
It's crazy though, because our oceans are being depleted.
Yeah.
We're losing all of our fish, marine life.
Mm-hmm.
Almost half of the world's land mammals, not including bats, and nearly a quarter of the birds have already had their habitats hit hard by global warming.
Oh, it's such a sad, it's polluting, just so sad.
Polluting our land and water, 300 to 400 million tons of heavy metal solvents and toxic sludge dumped into the world's waters around the world. And then like people introducing invasive species to other areas, you know, like in Florida, we were just talking about with your dad, the iguanas that are running around everywhere now. And I know like there's a lot of snakes and things like that that aren't native to like the Everglades and stuff that are wiping out animal populations. It's actually one of the huge reasons is invasive species. But at least 680 species with backbones have already gone extinct since 1600. So we've already lost that many in the last couple hundred years. And it also said that 559 domesticated breeds of mammals used for food have also disappeared. So you have to think about that too, is like, what if our food disappears?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that could mean animals for sure first.
Yeah. But also bugs.
Plants and bugs, everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we have no food.
Yeah. If there's no life on the planet, there's no us either. Like,
no, we can't survive without clean water and food. Then we're screwed. So it's just interesting to me that the UN is like pumping these reports out and nothing really seems to happen. Like they're just like alerting us constantly, like our world is falling apart. It is burning.
And everyone's like, oh, that's sad anyway. And just like moves on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how it feels at least.
It's just like, anyways, we're going to fight about the Mueller report or some dumb shit.
I know. The news never talks about this kind of stuff. And this is what people need to know. This should be so important. Yeah. Should be like a daily hour report.
Breaking news.
Yeah. The UN comes in with a devastating report. It should be like devastating report about animal endangerment. We are
killing our home.
Yeah. But no, they won't do that. They're like, what's Trump doing today, guys? He's on a plane. All right. Let's talk about it for 50 minutes, please.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Like, I'm so over the news and politics and everything.
Yeah.
It feels like nothing important is getting done. We do not focus on the important issues. And what's sad is like, I think the average voter, like most of them don't care about global warming at all or climate or have no concept for how bad this is, or they don't even believe it's real.
Yeah. And I think that's a small minority now.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I think it's bigger than you think.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that shit's happening. Planet's changing.
A lot of people would say our coral that reefs are dead. It's not so obvious. And they'd fight you.
Remember we went to the Great Barrier Reef and how disappointed it was? Oh,
yeah.
We saw it
for our lives. Yeah, we saw it for our lives. Ourselves.
Shit was bleached.
Yeah, it was really disappointing.
It looked dead. Mm-hmm. Our oceans are dying. Like, and then meanwhile, you know what they're focusing on? They're focusing on an asteroid coming and hitting Earth. Like, it's like, it really seems like to me that our government and just like the powers that be are literally focusing on going off world right now. It's very interesting that they're very focused on planetary protection. Everybody's focused on building space forces and colonizing the moon and Mars. Like, this is big talk by billionaires and people that are, you know, in these industries and in the government are very focused on that right now. It's almost like they've given up on Earth already. Yeah. And that's they're already preparing for what's next. And that's what's so crazy about it.
Seems like some of the mindset. Yeah. Or they're kind of preparing for both. Like, if we can't fix it, here's what we're going to do. Because I think people have realized it may be too bad at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we may not have, you know, people didn't start giving a shit until it's too late.
Yeah. And guess who's going to go to the better place first? You know, the people that have the money and the power, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to leave us all behind here while our planet burns to ashes. They're going to be flying to
where are they going to go?
Their colonies, dude. They're going to build. No, I'm dead serious.
Do they have them?
They're going to. They might already have some. I'm dead serious. There could already be colonization happening.
They could, but we don't know.
That we don't know about. Right. I'm just putting it out there, you know? So I don't know. There's a lot of things moving. God. But we'll stop it there for stories this week. Because, yeah, we could go on and on. So let's get into some unexplained phenomena and unsolved mysteries. We also want to thank Hunt a Killer. Yes, Hunt a Killer. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably love stories about true crime, which we cover often, as well as investigative journalism. And if you're like me, you probably get immersed in this story and often find yourself trying to solve the case. That's what we do almost every week. Well, we have something to satisfy that detective in you. Introducing Hunt a Killer is your new favorite obsession, I assure you. It is a monthly subscription game where you become a detective immersed in a murder mystery. And each month, they send you a box with photos of like crime scenes, evidence. You know, you get information on your suspects to try to figure out who the killer actually is. And this is a very official game because all of the documents look very much like the real thing. And it's almost indistinguishable from, you know, like official police documents and evidence and all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very cool. And it takes a very long time to solve the case. So it's an ongoing subscription game. So each box you get new clues to try and figure out who the killer is. Over 60,000 people have joined Hunt a Killer's online community where they have over 1,000 five-star reviews. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/milehigher for 20% off your first box, and they only accept 200 members per day. So take advantage of this offer. Again, that's huntakiller.com/milehigher for 20% off your first box. huntakiller.com/milehigher.
So if you're anything like me, you've had a bad experience when it comes to bras. I've always hated bras. And a few years ago, I got a breast reduction and it was really confusing to figure out even what bras to get after that because my size changed and everything. And that is when I found Third Love, which is our sponsor for today. So I've been a customer of Third Love for a while. I truly love these bras and they are the only bras I will wear, seriously. The coolest thing about it is they have a quiz on their website called The Fit Finder, where you go through kind of like a series of questions and they go off a bunch of different data and they find your perfect fit. And I actually found out that I was wearing the wrong bra size for like a few years since my reduction. And I recently retook the quiz and was corrected. And I've been a lot happier in my bras since. They have more sizes than other brands. In fact, they offer 70 different sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. It's very convenient because you don't have to go to the store. You just hop right onto their website. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. And if you don't love it, you can return it and Third Love will wash it and actually donate it to a woman in need. Returns and exchanges are free and easy, which is awesome. Gotta love an online brand like that. And it is hands down going to be the most comfortable bra you own. And I'm serious about that. They are not only comfortable, but they're also really pretty. Like, you don't have to sacrifice the style to also get the comfort with Third Love, which is why I truly love it. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Just go to thirdlove.com/milehigher now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/milehigher for 15% off today.
First thing we're going to talk about, the placebo effect. You know about the placebo effect.
I do. Definitely know about the placebo effect.
So the technical definition for those that don't know what a placebo is it's a fake treatment, an inactive substance like sugar, distilled water, a saline solution, and it can sometimes improve a patient's condition simply because the person has had an expectation that it will be helpful. Right? Mm-hmm. Expectation is like the key ingredient to the placebo effect. Yeah. It's like you got to expect that it's going to do something for you for it to do something.
So, and you know, it goes back into thinking about like how much of our own healing is mental. It's kind of interesting to think about because like people will take medicine and it's nothing. Like you could give someone just a blank tablet of nothing.
Yeah.
And they'll start showing signs of healing.
Yeah. There's studies that have proven this too. Yes. Like this is not just like some.
No, it's a major thing. I mean, most people learn about this just in like science, right? I just learned about this in school.
I think. And I mean, like with every pharmaceutical test, they do the placebo test where, you know, people like painkillers, things like Advil, Tylenol, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, people that use the placebo drug, whatever.
Yeah.
Had significant, like showed signs of improvement more so than even those that took the, you know, the actual medication itself. So I don't know. It's an interesting phenomenon that has never been explained or scientifically like broken down to what it is. But as of late, there have been several placebo effect studies measuring against pain medications. One of these studies found that between 1990 and 2013, there was an 18% drop in the effectiveness of pain medication compared to placebos. 18% drop. So 18% drop in effectiveness compared to placebos during that time.
Interesting.
So as time goes on, the placebos seeming to get better. So what's happening? If it's people being able to tap into the idea of like mind body connection and healing, you know, like do we have the capability to heal ourselves if we just like train our mind to do it, you know,
or,
you know, hone in on it ourselves? Like, do we have more power than we think? Like, how much of medication do we actually need?
God, that's really interesting to think about. Like, I wonder if you just replaced my thyroid medication with a blank medicine and told me it was a thyroid pill, if it would all of a sudden just start working for my thyroid.
I don't know, man. It's really interesting. And
it makes you think a lot about mental healing. And there's like full studies on people who have healed themselves mentally. There's that Netflix special on that too. Mental healing.
Oh, really?
It's not called mental healing. It's just about that. Remember we saw like a trailer for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
About people that are able to think positively and like heal major problems. There are people who believe that all illnesses like lie within us mentally and you can work them out mentally.
Yeah.
So maybe if you think you're being healed or helped and you think there's something helping you or someone assisting you, something assisting you like a pill, that you can start healing yourself. Because like obviously something is happening with this placebo effect.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely.
So
something's definitely happening and it's showing that we have a capability. Something in us is capable of making us feel better and healing us. Yeah. Like it's very, very obvious. Yeah. No, I think it's a very interesting phenomenon. It really is. Like, because I think it's something that we just don't know that much about right now. Like, we don't know how do we test that to a point where we can really prove that we are healing ourselves, you know?
I don't know, but I'm sure if they actually cared enough, if the scientific community actually cared enough to look into the process of healing, self-healing and stuff, maybe there could be enough data collected on placebos and stuff that you could start to see patterns and stuff maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's probably not that much research being done on stuff like that.
You true,
know?
True.
On and it would all healing yourself.
Yeah. And it also has to, like with this whole thing, clearly the mind is over the body, right? Isn't that the way it is? Like mind controls the body.
Yeah. It's kind of like mind over matter type situation.
Yeah. So your mind is capable of controlling every facet of your body, including your heart, which, you know, I've read interesting things about the heart and how that is a, you know, maybe even more powerful than your brain, which is interesting. Like when you get into biorhythm and everything, you know, is what I'm talking about. You know, when you go into that world and you start thinking about like energies and stuff, the deeper you go into it, the more you realize like it seems very plausible that we could heal ourselves. And it also makes sense for why meditation is so good for you.
Yeah.
And all the effects of that, especially on your mind.
Mindfulness.
Which, yeah.
As they call it.
There you go. Mindfulness. And what does mindfulness give you oftentimes? A healthier body and just a
healthier,
better
mind.
Feeling body. Yeah.
And if your brain and mind's working better, maybe your body's working better.
Yeah. It's the central conductor for everything.
So fascinating. I've always been curious about the placebo effect. It's so strange.
It really is. And they continue to do more and more studies and that say that people are, thinking they're getting a drug, but in actuality, they're not. And they're healing. It's more effective in most cases, like morphine even. They did a morphing study. But one of the things that gets brought up with this idea if our bodies are capable of healing ourselves, why isn't that anytime we get injured or sick, why can't we just heal ourselves? Like, why isn't?
Because, someone who believes that would probably say, because you don't know how to do it. Like, it's not like you can just be like, all right, let me think really hard and like heal my scab.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's something that you would have to be taught. But I don't know. I mean, I certainly have never healed myself. Have you? I don't know anyone who has.
No, but I've never really tried either.
Right.
What does that even look like?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
that's a great, great
that's not
example.
How you do it. No. That would be funny if that's how it was. No, but some people say healing requires too much energy, so therefore that's why our bodies aren't able to expend all that energy when we need it. You know, we're not, like, if you're not aware of how much energy you have, like, I wish we had like an energy meter. You could see how much energy you currently have and if it's negative, positive energy.
Yeah, Wouldn't that be cool? Interesting.
Like, you just like your Apple Watch is like your energy for today.
Yeah.
And you could just see where you're at.
It's like you're in the yellow. Go get a Starbucks.
You need some exactly. See your, vibrations and everything and see how you're doing.
Take a nap.
Your biorhythm. I mean, the biorhythm thing is really interesting too.
Like, that is really interesting.
How accurate talk about that is. So yeah, no, super interesting. The placebo effect. Let us know what you guys think about that. Or if you believe that the placebo phenomenon really does like work.
Or what is it? You know? Like,
or what is
what
it
are
or,
people experiencing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they actually being healed? Is it mental?
Are we just tricking ourselves and it's tricking our bodies? And I don't know. It's weird stuff.
Very odd.
But the next thing we're going to talk about is something called the 11-11 phenomenon.
Yes. Something I have been experiencing. It's actually kind of stopped, though. It stopped in the last like couple weeks for me. But all of 2019, I was having major issues with, well, not issues, but every time I was looking at my phone, seriously, every time, though. And I'm not just saying that. It was 11-11 every time or 1-11.
Right.
Almost it's just the every ones. Time. It happened like every day for, oh my gosh, so long since recently. And I thought, maybe there is a meaning to this. Like, is this just a coincidence? And I just happen to be looking at it every time.
And it's not a coincidence once you find out that this tons and tons of people have the same exact experience.
But if you think about it, maybe it just stands out to you more than 12-23. You know, when you see that, you're like, you don't think anything of it because it's just a random number. But 11-11 is like a special thing. So maybe it catches your eye more. And then you think like, that's kind of the argument. If you don't believe it has any meaning. But I seriously had this happen to me like twice a day for so long. And it felt like something was, I kind of felt like there was some type of message to be received or something. So I started like looking it up and I looked into angel numbers, which is basically a phenomenon where people think you see patterns of numbers or certain numbers come into your life and that they have meanings in their messages from angelic beings or like your
spiritual
spirit
guides
or, whatever you want to call it.
That they're kind of like trying to connect
ancestors.
With you and speak with you and maybe try to guide you on your way.
But here's the thing I found, though, is like almost every single number pattern you look up because I also see 444 a lot. I see fours all the time.
Yeah.
And when I looked that up, it was like, you're on the right path. Keep doing what you're doing. Like, this is just angels telling you like you're headed towards greatness or,
sure.
And then like, I would look up another one and it like pretty much said the same thing. Like so many of them said the same thing or like a very similar-ish thing.
Well, yeah,
I was kind of curious about it. I was like, I don't know. I want to believe in it. And I think it's, I do believe in angelic beings and like spirits and stuff. And I think they probably could communicate with us, and maybe numbers would be the best medium to do that with. So it kind of makes sense to me, but I don't know, the definitions or all the examples of the different times and the number meanings literally sounded the same.
Right. But you have to think about it from this point of view, that maybe that's the only message we've ever received. And maybe that is the only message there is to receive from the numbers from these spiritual guides. But every
number means the same?
Could be. That's what I'm saying, is could be.
Why isn't there a number that's like, you're on the wrong fucking track, dude. Turn around. Stop what you're doing. Like,
but who's giving us these definitions of these angel numbers?
I don't know.
That's the
thing. We don't even really know what it means.
It's an interpretation. Yeah. Someone's interpretation. Right. The same from like God himself. And
but I have to say, it has happened to me a lot of times. At times I'm talking about something important happens, or I'm thinking about doing something, I'll see the number. And it does come across to me as a message. It feels that way to me when, like, it does give me a sense of safety and like reassurance maybe.
Well, but especially if you believe in that first interpretation, that, you know, it's your spirit guides or your angels even, you know, guiding you or helping you, you know, during a tough time or something, and just kind of being there for you in a sense on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about that? Maybe this 1111 phenomena could be a result of whoever's programming our simulation, you know, we're seeing error codes, things like that. Like, like in a computer program, you know how a computer will just error out and there'll be like a number. It'll be like,
but why would that be an error?
Blah, blah, blah.
It's just the time.
No, I know, but maybe time is just code in our simulation, is what I'm saying. And chances are the code is integrated into every facet of our life because that's the way it's been programmed.
Where are you going with this, Josh? I really am not understanding you.
We're in a simulated reality.
And why would there be an error?
There are no angels. It's a simulation.
Oh my God. You can believe that. I don't believe that. We have different feelings.
No, seriously.
On that.
No,
a lot of people agree
that.
With you. A lot of people really believe in the simulation.
Have you checked into virtual reality lately? I used my virtual reality headset the other day and I literally was blown away. I was like, holy shit. I could live in this realm. I'm dead serious, dude. It's getting that good.
Wow.
It's going to the next level where my body is feeling like the sensations of what I'm actually doing in virtual reality, even though physically I'm not doing them. And when I say that, I mean like moving, like grabbing, like you can grab onto stuff and like throw it. And even though I'm just moving my arm back and forth, it feels like I'm doing this full throwing motion, my hands opening up and I'm actually doing what I'm doing. But in physical, real reality, I'm just sitting there like looking dumb, like with some sticks. Like
it is really wild, guys. It's been a while since I've done virtual reality, but they had like sample ones that I tried just on the like home part of it.
Oh, the free programs for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like this scary one where you're like a kid in a bed and there's this scary, creepy clown like creeping around the room, knocking shit down. And the sound is so good that when something falls, you like whip your head around and really like you like look so scared. It feels so real that it honestly like got my heart rate going so fast.
Absolutely. You will feel like real sensations that you do in real life. Like
or like
fear,
falling. Like adrenaline. There's that one where you fall off a building and it feels very real. You're like, know I'm in my living room, but I feel like I'm falling off the Empire State Building right now. It's pretty crazy when you think about where it's going to be in 10 years. It's mind blowing. Like when you think, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we had MySpace.
Yeah.
Imagine where we're going to be.
Or Alfie's YouTube.
Oh yeah. We were looking at Alfie. Yes. I know you guys listen to the podcast too. So this was so funny. He posted this like tweet.
A subscriber sent it to him. Yeah.
An old school YouTube homepage. And I remember that shit. It was like, it looked like MySpace and you could make like your background be a repeating picture. And I had a repeating picture of myself as the background. I thought it was so lit. I'd go to it. I was like, hell yeah.
Honestly, that was cool. Back when you had total control over your channel, like you could do whatever you want.
Yes. It was fun.
The good old days.
It was lit. It was lit.
The golden age.
But think about how it's going to change. We're going to get back on that virtual reality thing and be like, remember how lame that clown thing was? It was like barely real because it's going to be so good. Yeah. And I'm waiting for the smells. I just want smells 100%. To be in it.
It's coming.
Because that would make it so much more real. Like, I just want to be able to, like, travel somewhere and smell something. Like,
there's already additions you can buy for it. to give you heat, water, cool, air.
Wow.
That make you feel all that.
That's so crazy. So people are going to dead ass just give up on this life and join this.
100%. And people are going to. So there's this game like, called,
oh, don't look at Bill. He's been plugged in for like 10 years. He's not coming back.
That's literally what it is, though, babe. Because you're going to be able to create literally an avatar and be that avatar. There's a game on there called VR Chat. PewDiePie has a ton of videos if you want to see somebody play. It's really funny. But you are an avatar in this little virtual world, and people, you can talk to each other, you can go on dates, you can do everything kind of thing already.
Oh God. That's so weird.
It's crazy, man. Like you can totally like live this like double life online in this virtual world and still feel like these same real life feelings and sensations that you do.
People ain't gonna leave their house. They're gonna like order up Postmates for all their meals and just sit there.
Or pretty soon the game will like feed you or something.
Oh man.
I mean, it could get to a crazy point, but I think.
So are people going to even unplug to go to the bathroom? They're just going to pee all over themselves constantly. And they're like, I don't care. I don't live in that world anymore.
Everybody could be a vegetable. We could all never have to leave our homes again.
That's honestly terrifying to me. I hope that never happens.
I mean, luckily the natural world is not going to let us forget about the physical realm.
That's true.
That's a good thing.
If there's a hurricane, you're still going to feel it.
The power goes out.
What if you like have your shit on and you had no idea that there's this like mass thing going on? You're just in your own world and then there's like a nuclear bomb going off and everyone's running around, but you're just sitting there like,
where your roof's getting torn off and it's like raining on you.
You don't even fucking know. You're like, oh, this effects are great. They feel the water and everything.
that's where it's going, man. That's what's crazy about life. Weird. And when I got on this, I'm like, God, this is so real. But my point of this, because this was a spiritual phenomenon, is that, you know, as much as I want to be spiritual and as much as I want to, you know, I feel in my soul that there's something more happening. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't matter what we do with technology at the end, there's always going to be this deeper spiritual realm that exists and element to life.
Yes.
But I do sometimes have to like question and doubt a little bit that it is quite possible that this is a simulation, because of the fact that we are already in 2019 creating a simulated reality with basically it's we're very close to that point where it's indistinguishable from the real thing. That as soon as that happens, man, I mean, are we gods in a sense that we can create a virtual reality the same as our real one? I mean, that's what's so trippy about it, is it's like, if we can, as men, program shit that is as real as the real thing, then is like the
spiritual creator even... But at the end of the day, those things would still be programmed. Like, they're not realer than humans are because we're not programmed, as far as we know.
But that's the thing, is as far as we know, we may not know that part of our history, but it's possible that we are, because we have now somehow gained this knowledge on how to create this virtual realm that we can dive into and is indistinguishable from the real thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I totally get what you're saying. I just really don't think, it doesn't sound right to me.
No.
I'd be surprised, but I think it's possible for sure. I just think, I don't know. It's hard to believe that I'm a computer program. I'd give myself more credit than that.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. And I'm with you. Like, I don't want to think that I'm just like somebody's programmed fucking computer game. Like, what the hell? What do you think about 1111 being a energetic doorway or portal? So there's this guy named Uri Geller who believes that people who have constant contact with the 1111 phenomenon have some type of a positive mission to accomplish. He said, it's still a mystery to me what it is that we all have to do or why we're all being gathered and connected together, but it is very real and tangible. I feel that it is immensely positive, almost like there is a thinking entity sending us these physical and visual signs from the universe. But this is what I found interesting that he went on to say, was string theory is said to be the theory of everything, which is real, is 100%, and goes into the whole computer simulation thing. It is a way of describing every force of matter, regardless of how large or small or weak or strong it is. There are a few 11s that have been found in string theory.
Interesting.
Which is interesting because the theory is supposed to explain the universe. So the fact that, you know, 11 is noticed in string theory, I don't know.
Huh, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. We should talk about, well, we should bring someone on that can like explain string theory
for
morons. Like string theory for dummies. I need it.
Yeah, shit. No, it's very complicated.
Oh, yeah.
But this leads us perfectly into our next phenomenon, which is the rainbow body phenomenon.
This is so cool.
This is really cool because it's like real and it's been medically studied. There's pictures of this happening. So in Tibetan Buddhism, it is said that certain meditation practices can alter the appearance of the body, transforming it into five radiant lights. The name given to this physical fluorescence is rainbow body. So tangible matter is considered to be made up of five elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. And as described in Tibetan literary sources, including the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the elemental energies that make up the cosmos are understood to be undifferentiated from those that make up the human body. Therefore, the body is simultaneously an individual person in the cosmic whole, which I kind of agree with, honestly. Certain Buddhist meditation practices are meant to alter the gravitational field of these five elements that constitute the body, transforming them into five radiant lights of the color spectrum, which is, as we're talking about, the rainbow body. Mm-hmm. Which the rainbow body is also the transformation of the ordinary physical body into like a light form, essentially. Like the physical body ceases to exist as you're essentially ascended into a higher, like a higher dimension, pretty much, like a higher level of the plane.
What's a word for different
of the plane. Astral plane or you know, whatever you want to call it. And so this has been actually observed and studied. And after somebody is completely transformed and ascended into this like radiance of light, the only thing left of their body sometimes is hair and fingernails.
Ooh,
that's weird. How weird is that?
Because those are the things on your body that are dead.
Right.
I wonder about that's a teeth. Good,
I didn't even think about that.
Are well, teeth dead? No, teeth are alive.
Maybe teeth die, though, without the rest of your body. So that
were the teeth there? Just fingernails and hair?
I guess the teeth go with the mouth.
Interesting.
But not that's the nails.
Crazy. Yeah, those yeah. are your hair is dead. Your nails are dead, right? Your nails are dead. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not dead until they...
No, they're dead. Your hair's dead. Like, hair is dead.
But why do they grow? How is it dead if it grows?
The root's alive, but hair is dead. I'm looking this up. I know for a fact
the
hair is dead.
Oh, the actual hair follicle is dead.
Hair is dead.
Is hair dead?
Is Google? Your hair really dead? Watch this be like a myth, and I'm just saying that.
I'm going to laugh, too.
But no, it's dead.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So every instance of a death with signs of rainbow body attainment is unique. Depends on the type of hair. It does it?
Like which area of the hair? Yeah, like the root, obviously the actual root's alive, but your strands of hair are dead.
Okay.
I don't even know what the difference is.
That makes no sense. Okay.
I've just always heard people say that hair's dead. So that's interesting. So that remains, and then you just see this like glowing.
Yeah, and people like meditate into death. They transcend. Death
interesting. So
death.
This, babe, this like picture here
is a picture of a rainbow body.
Right. So this is very similar to what I saw in our apartment in 2016.
What?
Yes. I saw a light, like a whitish bluish silhouette standing in front of me in the dark, clear as fucking day. I rubbed my eyes multiple times. I could not get it. It was so fucking crazy.
Huh.
I know that I saw this.
And it looked exactly like this?
No, not exactly like that. But that's the idea you were asking me earlier. It was white instead of... It was something bright and like...
Angel?
It felt like something like that. Like I wasn't scared. I don't know.
Like could it have been a celestial being?
That's what I think. Or something like that. Or a
spirit?
I kind of thought it was my grandpa because I had his shirts in the closet. I've talked about this before on my channel before. I don't want to go on and on about it. But yeah. I don't know. I kind of think... It didn't feel like a negative thing to me, but at the same time, I did end up with like a random scratch on me. That was weird. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is kind of interesting. I wonder if you can eventually get to a higher plane where you just become on the same level as angelic beings. Like, are you turning into that temporarily if you're in this light body?
Yeah. No,
you're literally becoming like, I wonder, are you acquiring like,
well, you're angelic- rejoining the cosmos. I mean, you're essentially, yeah, you're going to that celestial plane where
so it's like people who are tapped in enough and understand the universe enough and have mastered this while alive.
Correct.
Yeah, that's super fascinating.
Because they've meditated so much that they can connect to that level that deep.
So think about it, guys. Think about what just 10 minutes of meditation a day could do for a normal person. If it can literally turn people into like angelic bodies after a while, just if you got a little slice of that every day in your life, 100%. Maybe it would really help you connect with your higher self.
Just increase your awareness.
Mm-hmm. Definitely increase your awareness, clear your mind to make way for new ideas to come in, for you to be more open to new things. Meditation does so much. It's truly amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And people who have like transcended from meditating before death and, you know, turning into this celestial light body.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that they maintain the meditation posture. They do not like fall over or slump. And the body, particularly the area around the heart, stays warm as it's going. So this was actually recorded by medical science in the case of the 16th Karmapa Rangjung Dorje. Sorry, I'm probably butchering that to shit. That was so bad. But he died he's like a Buddhist monk, essentially, that died in Chicago Hospital in 1981. And the attending physician who was attending to this guy said that after noting indications of heart failure on the monitors, the medical team tried to revive this guy, but gave up after about 45 minutes. And the doctor said, we began to pull out the tubing, but suddenly he saw his blood pressure, which was 140 over 80. A nurse screamed and said he has a good pulse.
Wow. That's so fascinating.
After 45 minutes, like he's like transcending into this like next level where he's like still conscious and alive, but dead. And
at he's the same like time. Straddling both.
He's like in between.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Gosh. Yeah.
It's interesting how that is never on the news.
Yeah, and the doctor said that 48 hours after the time of death, this guy's chest was still warm. His hands were both warm and his chest was even warmer. This doctor said, if I moved my hands toward the side of his chest, the body was cold, but the area around the heart stayed warm. That's what's so interesting too, is that there's so much more to the heart than we even fucking know.
Yes, I know. I've heard about that kind of stuff too. Like you always, you know, they always tell you like, oh, heart's just an organ. Everything's in your brain.
But
no, I think there really is something to, a lot of ancient cultures really valued the heart as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's been like something in our culture that we've always thought, so many different cultures thought, you know, the empathy or our feelings or emotions lies within your heart, your love or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, what was it? The Mayans believed in that so much. They would like sacrifice people by cutting out their hearts alive and then like rolling them down these hills. So.
And that's why every religion is like, you have to accept God in your heart.
Into your heart.
It's interesting that it's your heart, not your brain. Like.
Yeah.
Like, well, why everything. Am I not?
You right. give Valentine's. It's a heart. Like,
it's to the heart. Everything's
I love
to the heart.
You with all my heart.
Protect
you know?
The heart.
Imagine if at our wedding, I was like, Josh, I love you with my whole brain. Like people would be like, what? But isn't it the brain that loves? I don't know. Is there something deeper to the heart than just an organ that pumps blood? It seems like there's kind of split opinions on it. It's really interesting.
Well, maybe it's where your fucking soul is.
Your fucking soul.
Your soul is in your heart, in a sense.
Maybe. I don't
like,
know.
What, like if your soul, so your brain is where we think right now consciousness lies, but maybe the soul, which could is your consciousness, could actually in actuality be in your heart. So your heart is actually controlling your brain and everything else, because your heart is what keeps you alive in a sense. Like you can live with parts of your brain dead, but you can't with your heart gone.
That's true. They're definitely like seem to be the most two most vital organs.
And I mean, fuck, if this guy's transcending to the spiritual plane and his heart is still like working and
has great
warm
pulse
and
he's interesting.
That's what's weird. Isn't that interesting? Like maybe your heart has a lot more to do with spirituality than you even think is the bottom line. So and they actually captured a picture of him when this happened,
I honestly can't believe that picture. It's so cool.
If you're watching, then this you're is seeing, real. Yeah, this is a real picture that real developed. Picture, man. They developed wow. this picture, and this is what it was. And literally, the dude's, it looks like he's sitting in a meditation position, but he is translucent almost. Like, he's clearly like a light form at this point. It's really interesting.
Like, bottom half of his body's like gone, his feet and stuff. You Isn't can barely crazy? See the top of his head.
That's crazy. Can you imagine seeing that in front of you?
It's hard to believe that's even real, but I know it is.
Isn't it?
Wow. Interesting.
So like, this is very, very obviously hard to do. Like not all of us can just sit down
for an hour and see if you can go light up.
I mean, clearly this takes some serious skill to
I don't even understand
how you do this at all, but
lots and lots of practice, I'm sure.
God, it's so crazy though. If you're listening, you definitely got to go look up the image. Just type in rainbow body in Google and you'll see the picture. It's really quite amazing.
So we are having a bit of a late night recording session, and it's just about 9 p.m. when we're finishing up podcasting here. And, you know, we're a little too lazy here at this point to cook dinner. So this is a perfect time for us to order Postmates. And we have been Postmates customers for a really long time and really like the service. Postmates is not just for food and grocery delivery. It's also for pretty much anything. We have gotten pet supplies on there. I've ordered things from Target before. I know people who have like ordered pieces of furniture on Postmates. So whenever you're feeling lazy and you want someone else to get it for you, Postmates probably can do it. They deliver 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And not only that, Postmates will get you your items within the hour. You don't have to make any more trips to the store. In fact, you don't even need to know where the store is, dude. All you got to do is use your Postmates app. So download the app now on iOS and Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is going to be giving our listeners a $100 credit in free delivery for your first 7 days. And to start your free deliveries, all you have to do is download the app and use the code MILEHIGHER. That's code MILEHIGHER for $100 of free delivery credit on your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. And that's anything you need, anytime you need it, you can Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with the code MILEHIGHER today.
Have you guys ever thought about investing but don't know where to start? Well, good news is that there is an app that can help you break into the world of investing, and that's where Robinhood comes in. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all your profits, guys. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level, any amount. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy to understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your phone. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the Mile Higher podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your profile. All you have to do to sign up is go to milehigher.robinhood.com. So the next thing I want to talk about comes out of Egypt. And this is something that is not confirmed to be real, but I thought it was super interesting, and I think it's very plausible that it exists. And that is something called the Hall of Records in Egypt. So allegedly, a lot of people believe that there is a library of some sort buried under the Great Sphinx in the Giza Pyramid Complex. The Sphinx, the fucking Sphinx, dude.
Yeah.
Has been there for so long.
Yeah.
There's something to it. Something
going on with it, yep.
That we just haven't, we haven't gotten into because of shit. So people believe that underneath the Sphinx, there is a library, much like the Library of Alexandria, which held all of the ancient Greek knowledge in it. But there's a library with papyrus scrolls. Oh my God. There's papyrus scrolls in this library that contains like all of the secrets to the Egyptians. And this is called the Hall of Records. Obviously, mainstream Egyptologists say that this is just a popular theory among alternative ancient Egypt sources. and that they've never found anything scientifically to suggest that this is real in any way, shape, or form. But the actual origin story of the Hall of Records is unknown. But the idea that there is a cavity around the Sphinx dates back to Pliny the Elder, who was a Roman philosopher. And in one of his works, Pliny's Natural History, he states that the Egyptians are of the opinion that King Harmaeus is buried inside it. So there may even be like an Egyptian king buried in the Sphinx as well.
That's so interesting.
What's also interesting too is Edgar Cayce, the famous psychic, the sleeping prophet,
yes,
has had several psychic readings of the Hall of Records. He claimed that in 1998, the hall would be discovered and opened and humanity would move into a new era of prosperity. No, that did not happen. That's so
awkward.
Yeah.
When you're a psychic and that doesn't happen.
Yeah. It did not happen. And he said that the history of the earth would be found in the right shoulder of the Sphinx.
Gosh, so many things refer back to the Sphinx. It is so weird. That is one thing I've just noticed since we've started all of learning about all this stuff is the Sphinx is constantly brought up by different people like this. It's really interesting.
And even Graham Hancock's talked about this, obviously, too, and Robert Bivol. But in the book Message of the Sphinx, they say that American archaeologists and the Egyptian government had in the past blocked investigations around the Sphinx, including attempts to locate any underground cavities. And also later on, Robert Bivol wrote in 1999 that Egyptian Antiquities granted an American team a license to search for the Hall of Records under the Sphinx. It is known that there are three passages around the Sphinx, two have unknown origin. There's two passages that we don't even know where they go or where they start.
Why don't they go in? It's so frustrating.
Because we don't have a way to get in without like blowing it all up. Like, because one of them is a small dead end shaft behind the head, where somebody's tried to go before. When they've tried to go before, they're not able to go any farther. They try, but shit happens. They stop for whatever reason. We don't know. We don't even know who's tried to access it.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember like in Aladdin in the beginning when like Jafar's trying to go in? Wasn't it like a Sphinx looking thing? It was like a panther or something's
mouth.
Yeah,
it was like a, yeah.
I wonder if it was inspired by the Sphinx, like trying to go inside. Yeah. Interesting.
So we have no idea even how it works. I mean, we have no idea how to get into it. Without completely like destroying it, we don't know how to get into it. Or, you know, we don't know where the passages go, where they start. So it's just this mystery. Like, is there something hidden inside of the Sphinx, underneath it? Is there this library of the Hall of Records that has all the answers to the Egyptians, how they built the pyramids, how life was started? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe not. I don't know. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that is. I hope one day they really do go in or figure out how to get in there. I mean, we're really just going to be like, well, can't get in, so we'll never know.
Yeah.
Seems so stupid.
Well, one theory is that the actual Hall of Records, if it exists, was not even built by ancient Egyptians, but by some other society, possibly from like advanced prehistoric societies to a superior race of intelligent beings. Which if you think about, if you know anything about like the Anunnaki and all of that and that story, you know, there's these god-like beings that were around back then that left, but maybe they were the ones actually built the Sphinx, and maybe they put information or something is inside of it that they left behind.
A key or
knowledge or
something.
Maybe the Holy Grail's there. Or the
Oh, that drives me absolutely bonkers to think about that it could just be sitting there.
Literally.
I feel like it's probably been taken already if it was there.
Maybe. Maybe the government's got it. But this is a great segue into the Akashic Records. This is another interesting, not really a phenomenon. This is more of it's definitely like a spiritual idea. So the Akashic Records is this idea that there is this cosmic internet in a sense that literally contains all the information of the universe and contains all of our thoughts. It's like the one cosmic being's knowledge pool. God, you could even think of it as like God itself, tapping into God's knowledge itself. Because if you think about it, have you ever asked yourself, like, where do my ideas and thoughts come from? Is it me creating them, or the thoughts originate from somewhere else, or like ideas to do things, to build things, to creations? Mm-hmm. Like, what gave Elon Musk the idea to build the Tesla? Yeah. Or, you know,
or well, like Tesla, I guess. Yeah, I was going
to say. But where did Tesla get the idea?
Where did Tesla get his ideas?
Yeah. Where did he get this knowledge of how to build this wireless, you know, electricity system?
Yeah, AC current.
How did
about to do a video on it, by the way, guys. Coming this week.
Hell yeah. But where did he get this knowledge from? Was it just him? He thought it up out of the, you know, fucking ether or something?
He was
just
such a genius.
Or was he, you know, had an ability to tap into it? Because it could also be tapped into maybe through dreams. Maybe some of these brilliant people get these ideas through their dreams. A lot of people get spiritual messages through their dreams and things like that. And so the Akashic Records is something that is really up for interpretation by everybody. Because again, this is more, there's no physical proof. Nobody's got a picture of the Akashic Records, knows how it works, or even if it exists. Mm-hmm. But many believe it's like this library, like a cosmic library with all of the knowledge of the earth and the universe and everything within it. And a lot of psychics believe in it. A lot of different cultures believe in this idea. It goes way back to literally, like, we're talking like Sanskrit. That's what Akashic comes from. It's a Sanskrit word meaning sky, space, or ether.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. It goes always back to the Vedas, like way, 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 way back into ancient cultures, the Vedas and the Hindus.
Interesting.
Because Hinduism, as we know, is like one of the oldest religion that we know of. And that's where Sanskrit comes from. And that's where that word comes from. And I really do think like the Hindus are on to something. I think they got some interesting ideas as far as what's really going on with things, as far as like on the base level. And this idea that there's this library that we all tap into, whether subconsciously or we literally like travel there, meet the cosmic librarians. Dead serious. Like, there's people that believe that you actually interact with celestial beings that like operate and oversee this cosmic library. And in order to find out information, this is how a lot of psychics say they get their messages, information. It's how their abilities are even
interesting
working. Like Edgar Cayce believes in it. Tons of psychics believe in the Akashic Records. A lot of new age spiritual
that's so fascinating.
Psychics and mystics believe in this idea of this like collective cosmic library or internet.
Oh, that's really
that
crazy.
We all draw like
so it
knowledge
says
from.
That the Druid cultures is it Druid?
Druid, yeah.
Druid cultures in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England. So that's the same group that goes to Stonehenge like every year, right?
That was like a theory that the Druids use that as for like ceremonies and stuff. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's maybe interesting. They did have some type of knowledge.
And a
they
lot of people
demonstrate
think,
the ability to access the Akashic Records.
Yeah. And again, like the Egyptians clearly did. Like if you want to really think about where they get this knowledge from, how do all these ancient cultures like know all these things? How did they,
maybe they weren't directly communicating with aliens. They had something like this, like a record,
right? That's a great point. Like if you don't believe in the ancient astronaut theory for a minute,
that they straight came down and like
that it was like straight
told
up
them.
Yeah.
And maybe they acquired the information by, I mean, it seems like a lot of these ancient cultures were so much more in touch spiritually.
Absolutely.
And they practiced so much more ritual. I bet they were meditating and doing things like that. They probably did know how to like get themselves to a different 100%. Place. Maybe they really were becoming light bodies almost. And then you're able to access that type of thing. Who knows?
Yeah. It is like really DMT interesting. Or something like gets you there. Like,
yeah. And maybe they were able to create something to create the pyramids or to move them somehow or who knows?
Got the blueprints. Like, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
And you use telekinesis and some other shit to move shit around.
Those are so damn heavy. There's just no way. What were they again? Like 4 tons or something?
Per brick.
2.5 to 4 tons.
Couple tons per brick at least.
Yeah. So like, we know they weren't just like moving them around. They weren't just like sleds. Push everyone, push.
Years and years and years and years.
Yeah. And then stacking them perfectly. Yeah.
And the biggest thing for me with this is like, how did the Sumerians know about the planets, man?
Yeah, that same. That I is always so go back to
the
weird.
Sumerians. How the hell did they know where Pluto was? Yep, and everything?
And that, like, it revolves around the sun. And they had the right number of planets too drawn out on their like caves.
How the fuck did they know that? How are they able to map the night sky?
Yeah.
Without telescopes and stuff. Like,
even ancient, as far as we know, astrology blows my mind. Like how they knew stuff.
Where did astrology even originate from?
Freaking complex and like so like accurate in the sense that it follows space accurately, like whether or not you believe in actual astrology, but the science behind it,
the astronomy
that goes with it is all correct, and they got all that shit right.
The constellations are
about
correct.
When they pass and retrogrades and how it all work, like they figured all that out so long ago that it's honestly mind-blowing, like to a T, down to the degree of each sign. Like they knew down to the minute when it was going to change, and they knew when like planets, far planets, Neptune, Uranus, were going to enter different signs. Like, how the fuck did they know that?
That's absolutely the most mind-blowing thing.
I know.
Ever.
I know.
With
I know.
Any culture.
And then people are like, astrology is just a bunch of bullshit. It's like, okay, well, just at least look at it. It's pretty complex and interesting. Like, so many people believed in it.
It's a very interesting interpretation of the celestial bodies. And
and for them to have the energies all that and how information it works. Right. It's just so weird.
Where did that knowledge about astrology come from? Did somebody just think of it one day and was like, I'm going to write some astrology down?
Yeah, maybe if it didn't actually line up with reality, but it does. Like, it's so accurate to the actual space movement.
Maybe whoever came, I don't even know who came. I don't think they even know who officially came up with astrology.
No, they don't.
I'm guessing astrology is literally like pulled from this Akashic records. And is a part of it, and like is a part of the knowledge, because I mean, fuck, it's so accurate. Like, there's something to it, absolutely. I believe, at least, there's something to
and
it.
A lot of people don't believe it, and that's fine too. I respect that.
Fine, yeah. But
it's normally like people that don't understand it too much. But I mean, even if you do and you just don't believe in it, that's fine. But I think there's something to just be said about how complex it is and how detailed. Like, it really does go down to I mean, nodes and just such like planets across each other, like a trine. It's so hard to like explain, but it's so complex. Like, yeah,
it's too complex to be bullshit. Let's just put it that way.
It's not just 12 signs and read your horoscope and see your lucky day of the month.
Complex and like scientifically correct as far as the astronomy and stuff goes. Interpretations, that goes along whatever, with it. But
right. Yes.
But the degrees of the planets and their constellations.
They had it down. That's weird to me.
How'd they do that?
How'd they do it?
How'd they know? How'd they know? If it wasn't aliens, what was it?
Well, they had something. There's got to be some explanation for how these ancient cultures did things that today in modern 2019, we are baffled by. I mean, come on. They didn't just like, we would figure it out by now if it was something that us humans could do. If it was something we could do, we would have done it by now, or we would know how to do it by now. You know?
Seriously. And what are we even contributing?
Probably nothing
to history.
We're fucking up the planet.
We are literally everything. Our legacy on this in the Earth's history is so disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me sick. Like, I know, thinking about what we're contributing to the rest of the universe's history and the Earth's history. It's like,
it feels like a war, sad, destruction, wise tale.
Climate change.
It's like a tale of our. Oh, it's so sad.
It's like, goddamn. These ancient cultures are coming up with astronomy, discovering shit. We just like took their information and we've taken it a lot further. I mean, we have done a lot as far as like exploring and understanding the universe even more.
No, we have for sure.
I don't want to say that. So
actually, you know what? If you think about it, we're being pretty cynical. We have done quite a bit. We have created tons and tons of technology.
True.
We've created tons of health, like medical, huge advancements in medicine. And
we just haven't been responsible.
No, we're just pieces of shit who are selfish.
We're selfish beings.
But we have created a lot of shit.
It's true.
So
we have been innovative.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this Black Stone of Mecca. This is really super interesting.
I had no idea about this. Like, there's one religion I don't understand fully is, or really at all. I mean, I understand the basic premise of Islam, but Islam is something that I don't really understand. And so when I heard about this Black Stone in Mecca, I was completely just blown away by it. And just like,
yeah, this is really cool.
How cool this is. So for those that don't know, Muslims across the world, five times a day, every day, stop, face the holy site of Mecca and pray, which Mecca is in Saudi Arabia. It's the holy place. It's believed to be the birthplace of the prophet Muhammad. And when the followers visit the site, it's not actually Mecca, like the city that they're facing, but it's actually a building called the Kaaba. And the Kaaba is a mosque. And on one corner of the sacred building is a cornerstone known as the Black Stone. And this Black Stone history is shrouded in mystery as to what it even is. Like, we don't even know what this stone even is. Many Muslims believe the stone is in fact a meteorite.
Yeah.
Possessing supernatural powers.
That's so interesting.
So they
built see a picture of it.
So they built this literal, like a little cube. And inside the cube is this black stone, possibly a meteorite that people are praying towards.
So you can't see it. It's
you
in
can
a thing?
See it. Some people do go in and see it. There's pictures of it because people do see it.
Is this
they
it?
Kiss it. They try to kiss is it at least stone? Once. Yes, that's a stone inside there. Yeah.
So what's it in? What is that? Like a just a mount for it?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it almost looks like an eye. Yeah, like doesn't a
third
it?
Third eye or something.
It's very interesting. So the idea is to at least once in your lifetime make a trip to Kaaba and try to kiss the black stone if possible. Like if you didn't know this, but every Muslim, one of the things they must do in life is go to Mecca. Like visit the holy site. Yeah.
You have to? What if you like can't afford to go there?
I mean, you don't have to.
But it's like a cool thing to do.
Yeah, it totally is. And Christianity is kind of the same way. Like go to Israel.
Israel.
Go to Jerusalem, right?
Okay.
And yeah. And Jewish people, that's the same thing. Like go to the Holy Land. I mean, I think if any religion you think you believe in or, you know, you probably want to go to where it originated, right? You want to go see.
So does that mean the Scientologists go to like fucking Michigan, wherever the hell L. Ron Hubbard grew up?
No, they go to Tampa Bay, Florida.
Oh, yeah. No, Clearwater, right?
Clearwater. Yeah.
Interesting.
So what's interesting about the stone, though, is that they believe literally the stone has been there since the very beginning, like Adam and Eve. The story of Adam and Eve, if you don't know, is like the beginning of life itself on planet Earth. Started with God creating Adam and Eve, and this stone goes all the way back to the very beginning. So that's why part of why they think it's, you know, there's something supernatural about it. There has been speculation, however, that the black color to it is actually because it's been touched so much and the oil has actually like changed the color of the stone from white to black, which I don't know. I'm like, oils can turn it that black. I don't know.
That's like really black.
I feel like that's, yeah. I feel like, yeah.
Well, it's
I'm
definitely
not
a meteorite if it's white.
So like people believe that if the stone, when it was originally there, you know, thousands of years ago, it was white, and that over time, because humans, because of the decision Adam and Eve made, those assholes.
Yeah. What was their decision to eat the apple?
Eat the fucking apple. Sin. Oh, they sinned in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, damn.
No, no, no. They screwed
us. No, no, no.
They screwed us all, man.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm having a little crisis because I just had a remembrance to when I was a kid. Just so mad about Adam and Eve. I was like, you guys.
You were mad at them?
Yeah, because I was like, you guys messed it up for the rest of us forever.
Wow, interesting people.
Because they sinned. We became sinful. We had an opportunity to live like gods on this planet.
So as a kid, you thought that?
Yes. I was like.
So yeah, you'd be frustrated. You'd be like, what the fuck?
So anytime you'd sin, you'd be like.
It wasn't it Eve too? Eve was the one. Of course they blamed the girl. They're like, she fucked up first.
Tempted Adam.
Or no, was it?
Adam tempted Eve, I believe.
No, I thought the snake tempted Eve.
No, that's true. Yes. Sorry. It's been a while since I've heard this story. You're right.
Right? The snake was like
Satan, Lucifer.
Oh, yeah.
In snake form, visited the Garden of Eden and tempted them with the apple. He's like, hey. Which is interesting when you think about it. And when you think about the underlying story of Satan and Lucifer and how he was an angel with God and then he went bad. And it's like this whole like good versus evil story, which is kind of interesting, I guess. Mm. But I don't know. I honestly think that this stone is a meteorite, most likely.
Interesting.
Because if you think about it, like it's possible that there's just like thousands and thousands of years old meteorites just laying around all over the place.
Oh, there definitely are.
That have hit this planet in the past.
Yes.
And if you find a meteorite, I mean, they're fucking cool. They're literally from who knows how far away, from outer space. So I could see them believing that the stone could possess some type of supernatural power. And they're like, you know, we'll put it in our mosque in Mecca. But Muslims, you know, take it to a spiritual level in the sense that they believe the stones were once part of heaven. And as we talked about with Adam and Eve, and when Adam was banished from the Garden of Eden, the stone was filled with stone. It was filled with sin. And that the black stone was given to him to erase the sin and allow him entrance back into heaven. Some instead believe the ancient stone was brought from a nearby mountain by Archangel Gabriel, which that's like a whole nother story about the angels. But you do have to wonder that, is it possible, if the stone is from outer space, could it even be some type of alien artifact? Like, maybe we don't even know what it is because it's never been like looked at seriously, like scientifically. Like, has anybody ever brought a microscope up to it and like really looked to figure out? Yeah, I
wonder now, like with modern technology.
Like, we don't know officially what kind of stone it is. That's the thing. This is all speculation, I believe, about it being a meteorite. Like, we don't know. We're not sure what it is.
I wonder what like metal? Most Muslim people think it is.
Yeah, I would be curious to hear if there's any of you guys out there, like, let us know.
Let us know.
Or if you've, maybe one of you have seen it before or.
Oh yeah, if anyone's actually been there, I wonder what it's like in person.
I'd be really interested to hear. So, I thought that was really interesting.
It's really cool. I really like it because it makes me think about, you know, just, I like the idea that other cultures and religions think that stones can carry power.
Yeah, supernatural, yeah. Spiritual mm-hmm. power to it. Yeah.
That they're, you know, people who believe that crystals have power believe that crystals are alive in a sense, just like a plant. Like, they come out of the earth over after millions of years.
And they're energized mm-hmm. and they can have an effect
stones,
on
yeah.
all the electromagnetic fields.
Yeah. Interesting.
No, it's very interesting. Maybe there's so much spiritual activity in Mecca because the stone is like radiating so much positive energy or something, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I thought it was super interesting and definitely blew my mind a bit. The next thing we're going to talk about is something that I feel like I've experienced before at least once, and that is encounters with shadow people. So have you ever...
You think you've had an encounter.
Have you ever, like, maybe seen a shadowy entity in the periphery of your field of vision?
No.
Like, have you ever been, like, looking somewhere and then felt like you saw something shadowy, like, move past you or behind you or anything like that to catch your attention?
I had a black cat once, and after it died, I would see it out of the corner of my eye all the time. Like, black shadowy things.
Or a spark of light, even. Sometimes they can be moving.
I don't know. I've never actually seen, like, a real
between
black shadow person.
The planes. So it could be, yeah. But most of the times people see a dark form that is just there's no body to it. You know, it's just, it's not defined, but it's got sort of like a shape to it, a human shape to it. That's the whole thing with it, is it most oftentimes has been like a shadowy dark figure that you can't make out anything as far as like
features
exactly. But it definitely looks just like
that's exactly what I saw, but mine was light, not dark. But that is pretty much what I've always heard people who have sleep paralysis, they always talk about a black shadowy figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting on staring at them. It's like a shadow person or something. I've never had that happen.
Maybe shadow people are causing sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's maybe they're the ones that are actually enacting sleep paralysis on people for some reason.
Or maybe, I don't know. I more think that maybe when you're in sleep paralysis, you're in some type of like dimension almost between dream world and reality. And because you're kind of in and out, you're seeing things that are part of a different dimension. Like, maybe you are able to tap more into psychic abilities, or you're able to see things that you don't normally see when you're in this half dream state, because you're more connected to your unconscious mind.
Yeah.
You know, because it's when people are waking up, they experience this.
Yeah.
I've never had it, but neither of us ever have.
The same way that they're kind of moving in between dimensions in a sense, you know, clearly they're coming in and coming out pretty quickly most times. Where are they going? You know, in between dimensions or planes or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And so, like you just said, when we have these experiences where we're kind of awake, but sleeping at the same time, like,
And you said you had an experience.
No, I was just saying, like, I feel like other times besides the one time. So there was this one time
so hard because I don't think it was.
I was sleeping and I woke up. And I woke up and I 100% saw with my eyes a shadowy figure just descend from the ceiling.
Okay, but
me,
I have to like also point out that I was awake and the lights were on and I was fucking next to him doing homework when the shadowy figure was there. And I watched him have a full freak out. He like woke up and was like, you don't see it coming from the ceiling. And I was like, what, where? I was so freaked out. And then Josh got me all riled up and I couldn't go to sleep. I was up for hours. I remember that night so well. Trust me, I was there. I was doing homework. There was no shadow person.
It scared the hell out of me, though. Yeah, I had a moment of terror and like maybe it was just a night terror.
But maybe you were seeing a shadow thing because you were half in that dream world. But you weren't in paralysis. You were moving around. You shot up out of bed.
I was totally awake. Yeah. And I was seeing this.
But it's interesting. Maybe in your dreams, you were actually were actually seeing it.
Maybe I was lucid dreaming.
Interesting.
Possibly. I don't know. But what you felt saw really
was
weird.
A black shadowy thing.
It was 100% because I just remember and it kind of like spread out. Like the way I like to think of it is like Slenderman descending in from the ceiling. Like
Slenderman dark shadow. Freaks me out.
Because it was kind of, I think I even told you, it was kind of, I felt like it was like a spider. Like it had a spidery feel, like long, like just this like figure descending with all these like long black.
Well,
legs.
When I first started living with Josh, I think you were working through a lot of like childhood fear and stuff. And
yeah,
cause you never have nightmares anymore. No. Sometimes you sleep talk, but you don't have night terrors anymore. But when
not
we were
at all.
The first year or so that we lived together, Josh had major night terrors and would wake up and hear like gunshots or,
literally
just get scared, wake up scared.
I think I used to have a lot of night terrors and just like nightmares in general.
Yeah.
That I would wake up out of because they were that crazy.
Yeah.
I've had so many wild nightmares.
You don't have that really anymore. No. Normally you sleep through them.
No.
I think you've worked out a lot of shit. I think you were struggling mentally with a lot of, I think that because so much of it was demons. It was always, Josh was always scared of demons and like dark things and like devils, stuff like that. And I think because you grew up in church, that stuff really obviously freaked you out.
Yeah.
It scared you as a kid, right? You were scared 100%. Of it in bed every night. So of course you have to still work that out of your system. It's like, I'm still terrified of spiders. I'm always,
you have to conquer your fears. Yes. That's like the bottom line.
Yes, you do.
Conquer your fears. Even if they're
not spiders, you know. Though, not doing that. Nope.
No, you're not going to get over that one.
Fuck no. I do not partake in spiders.
God.
Get the fuck.
No spiders.
All right, what do we have next?
So the last thing we're going to talk about today is something called the Baltic Sea Anomaly. Ooh. This is really weird and honestly crazy that we don't know what it is. So basically, the Baltic Sea Anomaly is a bizarre deep sea find that was discovered in 2011 when a deep sea exploration team called Ocean X came across an unusual formation 300 feet below the surface off the coast of Sweden. When they dove down to look at it, divers and surface crew reported malfunctions in their electrical equipment whenever they came within 200 meters of the object, which has an extremely odd shape, don't you say? Like, a lot of people have compared the appearance of this object that's clearly at the bottom of the ocean to like the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars, which is like a spaceship.
Interesting.
It does look very similar to it. It's got like the kind of rounded shape. Like where they're, it looks like a spaceship.
How big do they think this is?
It's big. It's 20 to 25 meters tall and it has a canyon in the middle. So it's huge. It's big.
A canyon?
Yeah. It's got like a split down the middle. You can see the canyon there. So this is big. This is like a big old thing. This isn't like a little, it's 20 to 25 meters just tall. It's huge.
It definitely doesn't look like something natural. Like the line.
Like it looks to me like some type of like underwater base.
Yes, I was going to say that. It definitely looks like some type of
abandoned.
Which would make sense. I think those things are real. Like, I know. What was the one that we talked about so long ago?
It was off the coast of California. Yeah. But I forget what it's called exactly. But there's an anomaly at the bottom off that coast that looks like a little base at the bottom. Like it doesn't look natural.
What is the name of that? That's going to drive me nuts.
Well, I don't think there's a name of the base.
I think there was.
Did they name it something?
Yep. I remember we covered it.
Okay. But anyways.
I'll find out. Hang on.
A lot of people, like, we haven't been able to get down there to actually see exactly what it is, but people have made guesses Dulce as to base. How old it is.
It's the Dulce base, right?
No.
The Dulce base is
underground. Oh, actually,
okay, you're right. I think it's just underwater base. Yeah. So obviously there's not a name for it because... Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know if it's a base or not.
Right.
The Dulce base is like a confirmed base.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that one looks like another one. That looks even more like a base than the other one did.
Doesn't it? I mean, it's more detailed.
I mean, look at those lines. Like, you can tell. And then the big circle right here. This is definitely something man-made, 100%. There looks like there's a staircase over here. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Bottom right? Yeah. It looks like there's little stairs.
Doesn't it literally look... Or it looks like it's... gonna have a door or something somewhere.
How could you go up a staircase underwater though? How does that even work? There's no gravity.
I don't know. Maybe at one point when it was working, it could create like a field.
Or maybe this at one point was a spaceship above water.
Something. Yeah.
And right. It was used as a regular building and now it's just underwater.
True. It could be that too. Because it honestly looks kind of metal to me. Like it's not even stone or something.
It could know, even so be hard made to out tell of metal. By this picture.
Yeah.
That's really strange. What do you guys think? Does it look artificial? Like, it definitely looks man-made to me for sure.
But some theories as to like what it could be are obviously like a spaceship or underground base.
Oh yeah, something or sunk maybe.
Some people even say it could be like an old like German, like World War II structure of some sort. Like maybe they built something down there.
Could be. God, that really does look like stairs down there. That definitely has to be stairs. You can tell there's like a shadow, so you can tell they're ascending up.
And they're not able to finance another trip down there to determine whether it's natural or artificial. Nobody's like funded a trip to do it. It's like,
that's so ridiculous.
Isn't it? I always hear them like, come on. Like,
yeah. How? No one's interesting. There's got to be some fucking billionaire who needs to waste money on something that wants
It's
to.
Probably because mainstream has said that it's just some natural thing and nobody
It
wants
is not. Look at the, oh my gosh. Are they dumb? Do they think we're dumb? This has so many straight... This has a completely parallel line that goes on for a long ass time.
Yeah, that's a canyon.
Yeah.
It's a canyon in there.
Yeah, but it's still like completely straight and parallel.
No, yeah, it looks artificial.
Look at that. Parallel line. Straight. Straight here. Straight here. Straight here. These do not look... Even right here, there are so many...
Straight lines.
Right angles...
Yeah.
Clearly some type of structure. And then this is a staircase.
Do you think nature could create something like that?
No, though? I don't think so. I've never seen anything remotely looking like that in nature.
Yeah.
What about this little circle thing? And this definitely looks like something. It looks like an underwater base to me. And it looks like it's partially covered on this side by like sand and erosion. Like,
Or it is some like ancient structure ancient of some sort.
Sunken building. Yeah, that's true. But it's definitely not just Atlantis? Nature. Could be something like that.
What if it's part of Atlantis or something?
Why is no one going down there? I don't know.
Let's do it.
Let's finance it. Guys, let's start.
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. We're going help Josh and Kendall go to the bottom of the Baltic Sea.
To see if it's a spaceship. Yeah.
That'd be really embarrassing if we like raised all this money and it wasn't.
Oh, I know. It's like, yeah, it's just a rock, guys. Calm down.
Oh, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. What do you guys think?
Yeah, let us know what you guys think about these things, because I don't know. They definitely got us tripped up. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I love just like talking about these ideas and things like that and just kind of diving into them and just,
a lot of you guys like these more laid back episodes. I think they're fun. It's fun to do structured ones too, but this is also enjoyable. And I like switching it up throughout the episode of what we're talking about to get a little taste of it all, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know what you guys thought of this. And should we do part 5 soon?
Yeah, let's do it like next week.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, next week's going to be good. Oh, I can't wait for next week. You remember what next week is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think you guys will really like it. So
yes, I do remember.
Get ready. But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Mile Higher Podcast. Hopefully we took your mind a mile higher today.
Yes.
But if you enjoyed the episode, be sure to leave us a comment, like, subscribe, so you never miss a new episode from us. Also, if you're interested in RTX Austin, hop on it and get a ticket before they sell out. Because, yeah, it should be a good time.
Give us a hug.
And don't you worry, if you're not able to make it, we might be visiting you soon. So we'll...
Yeah, more coming on that.
More coming on that. Anyways, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks again for listening. It's been real.
Stay woke.
See you guys next time.